Blog Talk Radio.
It is time for another round of Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports. The very best in sports and opinion with your host, Bill Emerson. Phone lines are now open at 646-595-2677. Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another lovely day in Northwest Arkansas. I am Bill Emerson. Welcome to another edition of Rarely Right, Never Wrong Radio. And I should be joined by my co-host here in just one moment. Barry, are you there?
Yes, Bill, suffering from Alabama withdrawals, but I'm here. Thank you very much.
Okay, so any of you who would like to join us, please do. There's a couple ways of doing this. First, you can email us at ebill2003@yahoo.com. We'll be happy to have you do that. Or if you'd like to get in instantly, and you will be the first caller up, our number, 646-595-2677, 646-595-2677. Right to the story that kept us all enthralled last week. Number one, Alabama. Number 10, Arkansas. Barry, go ahead. I'm going to give you the floor. Your feelings about the game. Disappointed in how it came out, but going in, you were a lot more realistic than I did. You had Arkansas getting beat by a small amount. I had Arkansas winning 41-28. So, Barry, the floor is yours.
Well, I had Alabama scoring 31 points against us and Arkansas coming with 22. And Mark Ingram last year is voted the best college football player in the nation and was back at full speed. And I thought he'd be the difference in the game. And he had an excellent game. He's probably the best player there. So great play by the Razorbacks. Just not quite ready to play with Alabama's caliber.
Alabama much too physical up front. Also, Alabama, it seems like for some reason, Barry, when the game's on the line, they just kick it in. And, boy, that last quarter, there's no doubt who dominated most of the second half and all the last quarter, was there?
Well, we talk about the running game. I was visiting with a big Razorback fan this morning, and he said we're going to have to develop a running game. And we've got some really five-star athletes. Wingo comes out of St. Louis. Broderick Green transfers back from Southern California. So I think we have some talent in the backfield, and maybe the offensive line just came up upon too much. Those big, strong Alabama linemen may have been too much for our linemen.
Alabama better than you thought, Barry?
Well, if I had a vote, I'd vote number one. So I don't think you can, make any better stock for them than being number one. Number two is Ohio State. They look like they're on a crash course. Boise State really looks is the trendy pick there at number three.
And Arkansas, better or worse than you thought going into the game?
Actually, we played them better than I thought we would. We led most of the game and finally got away from us there in the fourth quarter. I didn't think we could play them to 4 points, so I thought we made a really good showing for ourselves.
And the game plan, Barry, we spent a lot of time watching and talking last week about what we thought the game plan would be. Pretty much what we both said, right?
Well, if you're making reference to Mallett, and in a big game like that, you want to ride your Heisman Trophy candidate as much as you can. Let him make decisions. He put the ball up in the air quite a bit. Had a few rushed interceptions that hurt us in the second half. But I think Petrino had a good game plan.
Yeah, I do too. I think he did. I think he coached the game, no matter what these people on Hogville might say, and primarily on Hog for the last 48 hours. It's been like we said. We are maybe even a little ahead of where we thought we were. If we would have thought 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago or whatever it is when Petrino got here that we would be to this point where we're playing a number one team in the nation, defending national champion this close, this well, I think we all would have been jubilant besides ourselves. But right now I think we're exactly where we are. One thing I'd like to point out is that freshman kicker you've been talking about from Russellville. Another good game by him, Barry.
Unbelievable. The kid's 18, possibly 19 years old, and he's playing last year in front of maybe several hundred fans at Russellville High School, and now he's playing in front of 76,000-plus fans last night or Saturday and had the two big field goals that were clutch. So, he's really got a bright future.
Yeah, he sure does. I was a little disappointed in Tejada's kicking off after the first couple of kicks simply because they were returnable. Alabama has a great returner in Trent Richardson, came close to breaking a couple of them. I think they have to work on that. What does Arkansas have to work on this? Now, they have a bye week, correct, Barry? Nothing until Texas A&M. What do you think Arkansas is going to work on this next week?
Well, you don't know too much about Texas A&M. You've got the eight conference games, and you look at these other games that probably Texas A&M and the Southwest Classic is the next biggest game on the schedule. So this is really a big game, Big 12 matchup versus SEC matchup, so it's going to say a lot. Georgia's falling off the map here with one of our big SEC teams. So this is going to be a big matchup just for the conferences. But this is probably important-wise, this is game number 9, but it's the next game, so it's very important.
Okay, let's get into some big games this weekend in college football. Not asking for choices. We'll just point these games out early in the week, things to watch for. Alabama probably doesn't get any easier. They're at home this week, but they play Florida, who actually looked improved this last week, didn't you think, Barry?
Yeah, racked up 50 points in the conference action. It's going to be a great game. They come from the fire and go right into the frying pan. You know, we always talk about a letdown after a big victory. Alabama's really been down this road before, just, going from Arkansas to Florida, and that was really one of the top games Arkansas's had the last few years. So I expect Saban to have his team ready to play. It should be an excellent game.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game, too. I think Alabama has shown their poise. We say a big game. This last game was probably not nearly as big to Alabama as it was to us. I've got four other games I'd like to point out this weekend on the college football schedule. Then we'll get to NFL. Finally, we'll wrap it up with some more NBA talk. Here's the four games I'm looking at. Unbeaten both of these teams, Texas A&M at Oklahoma State, Barry.
Well, to be one of the top four games, that's quite a pick for you. I know you study college football pretty well. Texas A&M is
their next opponent.
Both undefeated?
They're both undefeated, Barry.
I don't know who the better team is there, so I would yield to what you have to say on that one.
Here's what I have to say. I'm glad they're playing Oklahoma State, who's undefeated, as I said, this week. That means that Texas A&M doesn't have 10 days to prepare for us like we have to prepare for a game for them. That's the reason I point this out. Oklahoma State normally has some talent. I don't know who's going to win this game, but I know that Texas A&M is not playing somebody like North Texas this week where they can practice 2 days for them and 8, 9, or 10 days for us. So that's why I was pointing that game out. Oklahoma at Texas, 48 hours ago, this looked like a great game, didn't it, Barry?
Yeah, and Texas stumbles, gets upset. So Red River Shootout here doesn't loom quite as large. More on the line here for Oklahoma, but should be another great game, one of the great rivalries in college football, along with Ohio State and Michigan. Maybe second would be Oklahoma-Texas.
And that game will be played in Arlington, Texas, as usual, in the Jerry Dome. That's where we will, by the way, play Texas A&M this in 2 weeks. Yeah, you're right, Barry. Oklahoma didn't look so good over Cincinnati, although it was at Cincinnati. Texas soundly beaten by UCLA, who is really an also-ran. Kansas State beat UCLA. I think they're an also-ran in the Pac-10 conference. That might have been the most surprising game of the weekend for me. A big Pac-10 game, Barry. Stanford at Oregon, maybe the two best teams in the Pac-10 right now.
And both teams have climbed up into the top 10. Stanford was kind of on the outside looking in, but has the big win Saturday versus a Pac-10 opponent. I can't remember who it is, and Oregon's been there all along. So yeah, that's going to be a really big game to pay close attention to out on the West Coast.
Absolutely. That could be the Rose Bowl deciding game, if not more. Stanford at Oregon. Finally, Barry, Penn State at Iowa. Iowa was favored to win the Big Ten by a lot of people. They lost, of course, early in the year at Arizona State. They need this game badly, don't they?
Well, you got the Ohio State still primed, and they'll take two teams from the Big Ten. So now a lot of these teams, you know, they're trying to rank themselves 1-2 in the Big Ten. Penn State, Iowa's got upset early, but that was a non-conference game. So it's a big game early in the conference race.
And don't forget, folks, Michigan. Barry, Rich Rodriguez has finally got that team around. Looked like he was going to get fired. Now it looks like he may have a pretty decent team this year, huh, Barry?
Yeah, he's got just comes off the win, Notre Dame, which looked to be a really big win a couple weeks ago, but maybe not so much now as Notre Dame continues to struggle. But, yeah, I forgot about Michigan. They've been down for so long, and you shouldn't forget about the Michigan team.
Yeah, growing up, Barry, there was only two teams that really mattered for us in the Big Ten, Ohio State and Michigan. That was always the best Big Ten game of the year. Every year, normally decided who would go to the Rose Bowl. Lots of times decided who would be the national championship, the national champion. So that Penn State at Iowa, I'm telling you right now, I think Iowa really needs this game. Penn State, not nearly as good as last year. Barry, about 3 weeks ago, when we were doing our Before the Season Starts special, I said something about Mark Rick being in trouble. You didn't disagree totally. But you didn't agree either. You said, well, we'll see how it goes. Tell me now, Georgia 1-3, what's going on with the Bulldogs?
Well, it may just be the A.J. Green fallout. You know, maybe not having him on the field has hurt them more than what meets the eye. One player, and they have a depth chart that's certainly got some good receivers, not quite All-American caliber as A.J. Green, but that his presence – not being on the field, he may not even be allowed to practice. Maybe really hurting that team. Very surprised they're 1-3 and haven't won a conference game. And I'm sure the Athens press is being pretty tough on Rick right now.
I'll be honest, the reason I didn't like them at the beginning of the year, I didn't think they finished the year well. I just didn't. I think Rick is probably safe for this year, maybe next year. But, boy, if he doesn't win some games, he's going to be in a lot of trouble there. Georgia is probably not one of those schools that understands a losing record in college football. Barry, let's get to the pros real quick. A couple of news stories right away. The 49ers, who are winless, fire their offensive coordinator, Jimmy Ray, today. 31st in offense. Supposedly they're having trouble getting the plays in quickly. No surprise there. Also, the Bills cut quarterback Trent Edwards. Now, here's a guy that the last 2 years has started the year as starting quarterback. Both years has been replaced. And today, yesterday really, Ryan Fitzpatrick played fairly well for Buffalo, so they finally got rid of Trent Edwards for good. And, again, another story here, Chargers off to a slow start again this year, 1-2, 0-2 in conference. Barry, which of those three stories grabs your interest?
Well, the Buffalo story is such so far away from here that, that doesn't really seem to be a big story. If you talk about the Chargers, you know, they've won the Western title for the last 4 years under North Turner. Rivers has been an outstanding quarterback, but everybody now seems to be looking up at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, we have, as you know, Barry, I went and bought a Kansas City Chiefs hat right before the year started. Felt good about them. I think the reason that I like the Chiefs, Scott Pioli, who is Bill Parcells' son-in-law, went in there and laid down the law. I didn't know about how Charlie Weiss, they brought him in from Notre Dame as offensive coordinator. Romeo Cornell, they brought him in as defensive coordinator. Two experienced guys around a young coach, Todd Haley. I think that's the difference. You sure see a big improvement, at least in the defense. On offense with the Chiefs, Barry, they're not letting this quarterback win or lose a game. He hands it off to their couple of their running backs, get it sent out to McCluster. Good special teams, good defense. That's a winning formula in the NFL, isn't it, Barry?
Yeah, and you're right about the quarterback situation right there. Matt Castle, because he's a starting quarterback on a 3-0 team, he looks really valuable right now in the NFL. So they've done a good job bringing him along. He's got a good arm, so if he has to open it up a little bit, I think Haley and the offense can do that for him. So they're pushing all the right buttons right now.
Boy, but that the running back, the twosome they have there, Jamal Charles, Thomas Jones. I think, and their offensive line seems to be playing well. Everything seems to be working for Kansas City. I hope so, because both of us from this area remember when Kansas City had good teams, don't we, Barry?
Oh, Hank Stram wins the Super Bowl there for the Chiefs against the Vikings. That's going way back a few years, but I'm sure you remember that quite well with Otis Taylor and Len Dawson, Mike Garrett from Southern California. You know, we could go on and on about their defense also. Yeah, the Kansas City has a strong roots down in Arkansas as far as football goes.
And even if you go to the when they had Joe Montana and the Marty Schottenheimer era, very winning teams then. It's just been in the last 10 or 15 years, not even that long, probably 10 years that they've fallen off the map. Looks like they got a lot of young talent there. They could be on their way up. Barry, let's take a short break right now for a message. Then we'll come back, finish up with pro football, and then we'll get to what Barry's best at is the pro basketball report. We'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Are you in the mood for hot, delicious pizza tonight? Well, in Green Forest, there's only one place to go, Pizza Pro and Movie Time. They offer the best in mouth-watering pizza, great sandwiches, and healthy salads. While you're there, pick out a movie from their large selection of the newest releases. That's Pizza Pro and Movie Time, 870-438-5457. Owned and operated by Barry Mullen, coach and sponsor of the North Arkansas Fever girls basketball team.
Okay, Barry, let's talk about a special you might have over there tonight. What's the special for these next couple of nights here at Movie Time Pizza Pro here in Green Forest?
Well, the large sausage, we changed it around here a little bit. We have the large pork sausage is $11.28 after tax. You get 12 slices of pizza. Very busy last night on a Sunday night. A beautiful cool air mass came in here, and I think that people were buzzing around town a little bit more than usual. So it's a very busy night for our special also.
And how about a movie? I know tomorrow is when the new movies come out. Robin Hood sold really well for you this week. What comes out tomorrow people can look forward to, Barry?
Well, the big box office sequel, Iron Man 2, which has got just rave reviews, and expect to get a number of copies of that tomorrow, and it's going to be a big renter for us. Get Him to the Greek as a new comedy, and John Cena has got a new movie out called Legendary, which we're studying the notes on it to see how many copies we might like to purchase. But that'll be the new ones coming out tomorrow.
Barry, just a second here before we get back to sports. Because you and I talk about this in a while, and maybe you could kind of enlighten some of us here, including me. Blockbuster declared bankruptcy this week and is closing supposedly 3,000 stores. What happened there, Barry? Years ago, not even that many years ago, they controlled this industry. What happened in your industry, the movie part of it, Barry, that forced Blockbuster to declare bankruptcy and supposedly close all these stores?
Well, what I believe is just what I get through the customers. And about once a week, you know, I'll have a customer come up and say, has Netflix hurt you? And I'm like, I've said, well, it's not just like it used to be. I really don't know what the cause is. But people from outside come into me and ask, they always talk about Netflix. Not on demand, not going to the movie theaters, not saving so much money. But I think Netflix has really organized their program well, and it's put the hurt on a lot of video stores.
Yeah, it sure has. You know, Netflix advertises a lot, and I know it has to hurt everybody because it's easier. Not up in this area so much, Barry, because people don't have all the complicated, and by that I mean the big dish packages and all that to order. But I kind of hate to see a Blockbuster go out, don't you?
Yeah, you know, that you could see this coming. They kept saying 10 years ago when you had the switch over from video cassettes that were actually costing video stores $70 a piece, and the DVDs came in and they downsized them to about $15 to $20. So things were getting cheaper and cheaper, and I guess that's the way of the economy. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't either, Barry, but I hate to see all those people at this time go out of a job and lose their job. Barry, I'm going to give you the choice of three more stories in pro football before we wrap it up. Here's the three. You could talk about any one of these three. Cowboys with their first win versus the Texans, They are now 1-2. The Giants lose again, look terrible doing it. And Michael Vick, who has 4 touchdowns, 3 passing, 1 running. Which of those 3 stories would you like to talk about, Barry?
Boy, it's a toss-up there between our Cowboys down to the south. A lot of people expected them to, you know, make the Super Bowl. And how about Michael Vick? I guess that's probably the story of the week. He throws 3 touchdown passes, 2 to Jeremy Maclin, and then runs 1 in from a number of yards out. So I'd say Michael Vick is really probably the top story.
Yeah, I think so. He could be. I was first. I was not amazed that the Cowboys won down in Texas, at the Texans, because they had to win. In the NFL, sometimes you just have to win. This was the time. Michael Vick surprises me. So does the lack of discipline on the Giants, who were under Tom Coughlin, has always been known as a disciplined team. Penalties, offsides, bad throws, bad defense. Coughlin's probably okay this year, but at the end of the year, if they don't win some games, he's going to be in trouble, even though he won the Super Bowl just a couple years ago. Barry, would you like to talk some NBA?
Yes, go ahead. You bet.
Okay, let's start with this. Don Nelson fired at Golden State. Assistant Keith Smart takes that job. Don Nelson, as usual, gets out of a job and gets $6 million. He knows how to make the money there. I'm going to ask you a question here, because this was highly, highly talked about on a couple of the websites and blogs. Don Nelson, how will he be remembered in pro basketball as far as a coach, Barry? I say he's never really won anything. He's won a lot of games. He's turned programs around to where they got better, but has never really won anything. Your feelings on that?
I agree. He may be one of the greatest coaches that never provided anything. You think of Jerry Sloan that had Stockton and Malone and won a lot of ball games, but never could get to the pinnacles. And Don Nelson's kind of the same way, just won a bunch of ball games, run and gun with his players, but probably make the Hall of Fame, but maybe 25 years from now when the next generation comes around, they probably won't even remember his name.
Yeah, I would take Jerry Sloan over Don Nelson any time. I think Nelson tried to do too many things that were unusual, play 4 guards, put Manute Bol at center, tried to go without a center for years. He always said it was because he could not get a center. In fact, in his Milwaukee career late, they got Bob Lanier. But over the course, he's never really had a great center. I think his best job of coaching was run TNC. I think he was pretty good at Dallas. Always a decent coach. I would never say a great coach, huh, Barry?
I agree. You know, he's a good coach and likely to make the Hall of Fame, but greatness is something I don't think will be equated with his name.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of those guys that came out of the Celtics, a Red Auerbach disciple, who everybody instantly thought could coach because they were around Red Auerbach. I think he was an innovative guy. Don't get me wrong. Where did he go to college at? Do you know, Barry?
No, I sure don't.
I'd ask that for our trivia question today. In fact, we will. That'll be our trivia question for today. Where did Don Nelson go to college? And if they come over and give Barry the correct answer at Pizza Pro and Movie Time here in Green Fork, what are you going to give him, Barry?
Let's give him the special, and let's give him the large sausage. I'm trying to go through my memory banks, and I just cannot remember. So we'll let him have the special there. That'd be a good trivia.
Okay, because if you can't remember, I'm assuming that 99.99% of the people can't remember either. But that'll be our special. Go tell Barry the answer to that trivia question. Where did Don Nelson go to college? And you can win a large pepperoni pizza. Barry, another quick note here before we get to the Carmelo Anthony soap opera that's continuing today. Andrew Bynum was hurt at the end of last year. He's not going to go through training camp and probably will miss part of the regular season. He did not get his surgery done immediately after the season. Instead, he went to the World Soccer Championship. I just want to know your feelings on that.
I've always been a big Bynum fan. I think, you know, this knee surgery is going to hold him out till late November is what we understand. So, you know, this I don't know what the doctor, what happened. You thought he would probably get in there and at least get the thing scoped out. It can't be too bad because he played so late in the season. But it looks like he's going to have some time off. I didn't know he was such a soccer fan, but kind of makes you scratch your head.
Yeah, I would think that if I was an athlete and I knew the team was depending on me next year, and they really are because they're not – this team did not make any noticeable improvements that I've seen so far. Well, Steve Blake, they got Steve Blake, and I think that'll be helpful. They've got a couple of players that probably make them as good as last year, but Kobe's getting older, so I'll just throw that out there. I would think he'd get the surgery done, but I understand if he talked to the Lakers and they said, no, go ahead and go to the soccer championships and then do it, that's fine. But I think that's just kind of a funny situation there. Let's get right to Carmelo Anthony. Not traded yet, Barry. One of the great superstars in basketball. Supposedly he was going to get traded Saturday to the Nets. They haven't yet because the Denver Nuggets are trying to hold out to get two players. They'll take either one of these two in a package, that being from the Chicago Bulls, Joakim Noah, or from the Clippers, Blake Griffin. They'll take those as part of a package. Any chance you give up Noah or Blake Griffin, Barry?
Well, you wouldn't think so, but you're going to have to because there's no doubt he's going to bolt as soon as the season's over with. So neither one of those players. Griffin's an unknown, but came out as college player of the year, number one pick overall. I think the Clippers would like to hold on to him, but for Carmelo, they'll turn loose. Joakim Noah's very happy in Chicago. He'll be disappointed to leave to go to Denver. So you're right. It's quite a soap opera.
Yeah, I don't think either one of the, I don't think either one of those teams will give up. I just don't think they're going to do it. Because, first of all, the thing they're worrying about is, first, they will not make the trade unless Anthony signs a long-term contract with them. So that's something. The Nuggets are having trouble, Barry. I want people to remember two names out here. We'll be talking about this all year as the NBA goes along with the Nuggets. The Nuggets just hired a general manager. But Josh Kroenke, who played basketball at the University of Missouri, he's 30 years old. He's the son of the owner. He's got his name written all over these trades. He's in the, and his assistant is Brett Barup. Barry, you know him from Kentucky. Those two are running this team, so keep a watch out for those two. Supposedly there was a 14 deal that was supposed to go down Saturday. The Nuggets would have lost Anthony, but they would have got Kirilenko from Utah and Derek Favors, two big guys up front. That could have really helped them, Barry.
Yeah, they're going to have some help there. Carmelo may be more of a small forward that can also play power forward on the offensive end. Defensively, he may be limited a little bit. So Kirilenko would be a nice pickup there. You always think about him being from the Jazz.
And Derek Favors, a young forward with lots of potential, would have helped them a lot. The Nets, they would have gotten Carmelo Anthony to give him up. They would have sent Favors to the Nuggets, Devin Harris to the Bobcats. It's a four-way deal. It's moving all around. That's a lot to give up, though, isn't it, Barry? But I guess when you get one of the top five or six players, it's probably worth it.
Yeah, there's no doubt that there'll be a lot of shakedown here the next few days. It looks like the end is somewhere in sight. You know, we just got over the LeBron James and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade saga, and here's looks like there may be another one coming down the line here. I kind of look for him to go to New Jersey, but there's a bunch of teams involved.
And finally, in that four teams, Bobcats would have got, as I said, Devin Harris. Utah would have got Boris Diaw. More importantly, they got rid of Kirilenko's contract, which is worth $17.8 million next year. That's the thing Utah wanted to get rid of. They didn't care what they got. They wanted to get rid of that big contract for Kirilenko. Barry, we're under a minute right now. Another one I want to tell people is you're going to hear today about them having a possible trade with the 76ers for Andrew Iguodala and some other players. That's not going to happen. Carmelo Anthony says he will not play in Philadelphia. So, Barry, that's another show for today. Thanks for joining me, Barry. I appreciate your help today. And for everybody else out here, join us tomorrow. Same time, same station. More. Rarely right, never wrong. Thank you for being with us.